start, Jeannie, sorry. Welcome everybody out to our city council meeting, September 28th, 6:30 p.m. We're going to start with Russ leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance, and Kevin will say the opening prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before thee this evening. Grateful, Father, for the blessings that we enjoy this season of year. We're thankful for the cooler weather, Father, and the transition that we make from summer to fall. And we are grateful for the favorable circumstances in which we can meet. We have survived a tremendous drought this summer, and we pray, Father, that as we move forward with projects and different water options for our city, that we can be blessed as we move forward, that the future holds promise. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for those administrators and workers of our city, and pray that they will be blessed and take pride in our city and help us to make this a special place. We're grateful for this opportunity to meet together and discuss the options that are on the agenda. Pray that we can work through those tonight and receive input and direction where needed, and we can be productive this night. Now, Father, we're grateful for our freedoms. We're grateful for this valley that we live in. We express our love to thee and our gratitude to thee for these things, and we do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Start with a roll call.
Okay. Justin.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Rondi.
Here.
Sam.
Here.
Okay. Next is to approve claim register dated 9/10 of 2021 to 9/24 of 2021 in the dollar amount of $100,461.56.
I reviewed it. I'm okay. Do you need a motion?
I've looked at it. I don't have any questions.
So you want to make a motion?
I'll make the motion that we approve the invoice register dated 9/11/2021 to 9/24/2021 in the amount of $100,461.56.
I'll second that motion. Made by vote.
Okay, I have the motion by Russell and seconded by Rondi to accept the invoice register, claims register dated 9/10/2021 to 9/24/2021 in the dollar amount of $100,461.56. Roll call.
Justin.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Rondi.
Yes.
Sam.
Yes. Just real quick on that, make a note maybe to, on your minutes, it shows 9/10 versus 9/11. Can you check?
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. I was reading off one instead of the other. Requisitions. The only requisition, we don't have any other than Jim. Jim's requisition for out of state travel to, you want to tell them about it, Jim?
So the training is FBI Kenai College. It's up in Montana. It's a Western region training. I've been accepted to the tuition is $900. That includes your lodging and tuition for class, and some bills. So it's a pretty reasonable price, but you have to pay for travel and a few bills as well. So it's a good opportunity to, like I say, it's a leadership training is what it is. It's a competitive applications, and like I said, I was accepted this year. But so I'd just like to get your approval to go over that.
Questions?
Is there a dollar amount we need to approve with it?
It would be the $900 for the course plus travel.
I'll make a motion to accept the out-of-state travel.
I'll second that motion.
Good. We got the motion by Sam, seconded by Rondi, to approve Chief Wilberg being able to go to training in Montana. It costs us $900 plus travel. Roll call.
Justin.
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay, next on our agenda, Jim, you want to come up? Yeah. Introduce our new police officer.
This is Officer John Blackburn. He's been with us for like a month and a half, 2 months now?
Yeah, beginning of July, or August, so.
Yeah, doing a great job for us so far. I'm really happy with him. He was working for Hurricane PD, going through his FTO pretty program down there. So when we got him, we didn't have to do too much with him. But I got him going on his own, so. He's been have a lot of good feedback from people that he's worked with and the community, just watching his stops and stuff like that. He's doing a really good job for us. John's originally from Mayfield and wanted to come back to Sanford County and live and work. So that's how he was lucky enough to get him to come up here. So I don't know if you have any questions or anything.
That was my question, if you have family up here, because it's a local name.
Yeah,
heard
the Mayfield
went to Gunnison High. Yeah. Well, I think we have better luck with them staying if they've got roots here.
Yeah.
And so I can see you wanting to come back. Hurricane's a busy place now.
Yeah, it is. It's really busy down there.
Mm-hmm. Family?
Yeah, Mayfield and Centfield.
So, I mean, you have a family?
A dog.
Well, that's a start.
Just a dog for now.
So are you living in Mayfield currently?
No, I just moved in on the second north there. Renting a house from Tony Hatch.
There you go.
Helping slow the speeders down on second
north. There you go.
Yeah.
I've noticed a police car there in the last little while, so. Well, welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate what you're doing.
Yep. Thanks. Nice to have you aboard.
Yeah, yep. Nice to be aboard.
You've done a great job so far.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, Brent. Yeah, good experience coming from her, too. So.
I've had him come help me to the hospital. He's done a good job.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good to meet you. I was here, I told the mayor I'd give a report as well. Is that where?
Yes. Yep. Okay. That's where it's next.
So I'll give you just a printout of our events that we've had over the last 3 months, third quarter. If you'd like to have any questions, like there's a total of 333 events. On the third page on the bottom, where it says total citation violations, 91, so that's a ticket where there was not a warning citation, okay? So there was actually a violation cited and charged, and then where it says total citations, 119, that's the warning citations that were issued. So that's a little bit confusing on that part, but the rest of it's pretty self-explanatory. Do you have any questions about anything? During this quarter, we had a couple of big events. We just finished up the investigation of the drowning at the pool, and that was submitted to the county attorney. So we wrapped that up and kind of got that case resolved, you know, finished as far as we go. The investigation is complete, and it was submitted. Talked to the mayor the other day about some zoning problems that we're working on. I don't know if I left the letter on your desk. So that one is, we give the letter, we'll follow up later and just see how that's going to get resolved. There's a couple of places that were identified that we're working on. Talking with Jeannie today, she said she was going to meet with the people that do our zoning and stuff and get some of our ordinances a little bit clarified or up to date or stuff like that. So, and that was next week?
That's this Friday.
Right, so that'll help us a little bit with that. And then I got a letter for the new city right-of-way ordinance. And, you know, with the extra help, I've been able to do things that I haven't been able to do for a long time as far as administrative stuff. And then having Sergeant Taylor doing our investigations. He's doing a couple substantial cases right now he's working on. And so it's freed up time for me, and also it'll free up time for officers that they'll be able to concentrate on some of the other things that we haven't been able to do for quite a while. So we'll have to get to that and try to get things cleaned up a little bit and keep going that way.
So I know earlier on in the summer there were some problems with a lot of offenses in town with the city property being used for parking lots and mechanic work and lots of things. Has that been part of your efforts this summer? I know that there was a grace period where people got letters and then warnings and then so forth and so
that's
on.
That's what we're going to start concentrating on with the new city right-of-way ordinance. I think it came into effect at the end of June or something like that. Haven't done much with it. Just got a letter from the city attorney that we can pass out and mail out either way. And notify them of the violations and start working on those and getting it cleaned up.
Good.
And that's where someone was coming last week.
He's, right.
He's done three or four. We've had one fence issue that caused a wreck. So we're doing that one and a couple others. So.
And then we got one down the road here that's going to cause a wreck for too long.
Yep.
I don't know between us and the state. I'm talking about 5th West where we come on the Main Street. You know, those cars stick out so far. You got to pull out in the intersection before you can see if anything's coming from the west. So. And they keep getting out a little farther, so they keep pulling out a little farther, and it's not good.
We talked to him a few times and asked him to. She actually painted lines to where it was in compliance with the distance from the intersection, but still, it's still dangerous because people park when they're not supposed to.
Well, and the speed, too.
The speed. Any questions you have?
Well, I'm glad to see this.
Yeah. It's been a while. I know I missed it one time, but.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad to see it. I see the new officer out. Glad to see some lights going on State Street up there. Being that I live up there and come into town pretty darn fast. That's a good thing now. I do get quite a few complaints about the church parking lot in North State there.
So we're kind of tied, and I talked to I haven't talked to the president of that stake, but if the church would put signs up and restrict access or something, we could help enforce that, but...
Okay.
Where it's private property, we can't really enforce violations there unless they request it or they have to post it, you know. Either
No parking.
Or, you know, being in the parking lot unless it's a church function or something like that.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. What could we do with the...
Yeah.
We discussed it. I've talked to the state president about it.
Yeah.
Even to the point of talking about throwing a gate up, but...
Just need the signage so we can help enforce it.
Yeah.
If they send us a letter and they request the enforcement and put signage up, we can certainly do that. I mean, we can, you know, the reckless driving, stuff like that, that's something that can be enforced on private property, so we can deal with that when we see it, when we get complaints about it. But there's a lot of kids that just go down there and hang out and park, and the music's loud, and you're yelling and talking loud, and so I know it goes out of people. We'll go and ask them to, you know, be quiet, but we can't kick them out without permission or the request of the church.
Yeah.
And signage up. So.
Don't they use all the churches? It's a Wi-Fi thing, isn't it? With a lot of them?
A lot of it is a Wi-Fi thing.
Yeah, they pull in there and get Wi-Fi, so they pull in there to use their phones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate what you guys do.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
This is, having this extra person has really made a big difference.
Jim's actually had a smile on for the last little while. Thanks, Chief.
Yeah.
All right. Next, we'd like to welcome or recognize our Citizen of the Month. And this month, we'd like to recognize Mae Thompson. Mae has led the humanitarian efforts for Mount Pleasant, Fairview, and Spring City. She works tirelessly with many others to provide quilts, jumpers, school kits, Christmas socks, hygiene kits, bears, and hats. These items are delivered to Primary Children's Hospital, Veterans Hospital, Shriners Hospital, Oncology Centers, Boys Homes, and many other humanitarian organizations. We want to thank Mae for her many hours she spends working for the humanitarian efforts in our area. Mae, would you come up?
Thank you so much for your efforts and all you do. And that's all the certificate and certificate for being a Citizen of the Month. Thank you for all your efforts.
Well, I deserve this honor, but I appreciate it.
You need to take your picture. Thank you. Thank you so much for all you do.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'd like to keep inviting people and recommending that they keep sending us recommendations, because that's how we get most of these. Well, we get them all, is by citizens recommending people for Citizen of the Month. So thank you, Mae, for all you do.
Thank you.
All right, next. This probably should be led more by Dave than by me. It's some discussion and action and recommendation from the Planning Commission. Do you want to come up, Dave, and kind of explain a little bit? Well, they'd like to, looking at rezoning some different areas.
So I'll give you the current zoning map there. That's the colored map. And then the black and white with my coloring is the proposed zone changes. So what the Planning Commission is recommending is along 500 West on the west side. Starting at 800 South, it would be rezoned to residential agricultural, which has been requested by residents along 500 West and a lot of other people looking to purchase property along 500 West, mainly with the fact being that commercial manufacturing doesn't have animals as a listed approved use, which is what a lot of 500 West has going on. Then along Main Street, they would like to have that zoned to commercial along Main Street, so the front half of the blocks there would be zoned to commercial. And then heading back up north to 5th North, would be rezoned to RA, and then also that it's currently zoned as residential multiple, but the way the development has had in there, if it was ever high density housing that moved in there, it'd be very problematic as far as getting a sufficient road. So their recommendation is to have that rezoned as well. And I have had conversations with one of the major property owners in there who's in favor of having it rezoned as well to RA.
Well, part of that high density there is they would have to pump the sewer
right
back up to the old railroad tracks or Fifth West.
Yep.
So you're talking Fifth West North? Is that what you were
all
saying?
All the way from 8th South to 500 North would be rezoned.
Would be rezoned, yeah.
Currently it's commercial.
Commercial
manufacturing.
Right. We want to rezone residential agricultural.
Yep.
So what do I do?
You're grandfathered in, so you're fine.
So no other developments can go on as far as commercial on 500 West.
On 500 West, yeah.
So in the we've got a parking lot there that we need to put a warehouse up. Is that going to be a problem?
They discussed that, and they felt like if you were wanting to expand, the likely variance could be, you know, granted, given that that was there before the rezoning.
I think with the existing business there, we ought to move it a little bit further north.
Shift the line?
I think we need to shift the line north and let the business stay in where it's already an existing building, a business in occupying and going. That line should shift to the north.
Yeah.
You look along Fifth West, I mean, it's zoned that way for, but you look almost everywhere along there's a residential house. So really the only way you don't bring anything modified commercial in there is to tear down an existing house and build in a business. So it's like it's really zoned wrong anyway, because there's not really room for any businesses to come in there.
No.
So how far west are we going with commercial zoning?
We would be changing it to RA.
Okay.
Well, so it would be our city property line, or our city limit sign area.
Yeah, the city county lines right just west of.
It's about half a block west.
Yeah, about a half a block west.
A Fifth West.
So that's where the city ends.
Right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess in my mind you were going from 8th. So the only change you'd have to make is go like from 7th or from 750 or whatever.
I'd say just go to 7th, because again, we're not affecting anybody else in the area.
Because that's a...
Well, that makes more sense than trying to do the variances.
Yes,
right.
Yep.
When I read that, I wondered, well, okay.
Yeah. Because I don't think there's another business we'd affect.
There are, can I say something?
Yes, you can.
There are other businesses closer to Main on the corners all the way down Fifth West, clear to 8th North. There's three or four businesses. There's a landscaping business, or I can't remember what it's called. It's not landscaping, but it's...
There's where the old meat locker.
Here along Fifth West, and so what I'm saying is you might need to hold a public hearing.
We would.
Yeah.
Because there it is going to, and you can say, okay, I'm just going to give the negative part is, I apologize, but if you change the zoning from commercial to residential, and you can do variances, you know, like you're talking about, but the problem is when you have a change of leadership or council or mayors for future use, anybody that wants to add to the business after this is changed to residential over commercial, or I can't remember what you call it. What was it? Residential?
Modified commercial.
Modified commercial. Well, maybe it won't affect with modified commercial, but it could for any future growth of change of ownership of businesses that have been there for years. So, to me, would there be any way of keeping it both ways along that whole Fifth West, because it does have businesses all along it.
We'd have to probably stop it on First South, because there is the one on First South.
Kevin's business could go to someone else after he retires and they keep that business going. They want to add to the business. They got to go to planning and zoning. It's no more commercial use. It becomes a problem.
Well, that's what I'm saying on Kevin's business. I think we need to move it a whole block north.
It would be that same idea all along the entire thing because it is zoning.
Because that little road in my house, I've got neighbors and people that move in that want to have the farmland and they come in to have the farmland. It's not zoned for that. They shouldn't be coming in and doing that. So that's some of why this is being considered because there are so many people that want that.
Yeah, it's both ways.
You can't have the commercial manufacturing and have your firemen all around.
But it is right now.
Right now, it's
correct. Right now.
It was grandfathered in for the animals, for those that have kept animals on it. But if you didn't keep animals on it, you're out of luck.
So it seems to me what you do is leave it alone. I'm sorry, I don't mean to take this over. It's just a thought. You leave it alone and you let each individual that lives on that area, because of the zoning right now, come in and ask for the variance for their needs, for agricultural or for residential use or for farm use.
We'd have to almost create a new code there that would allow for both, probably in my opinion.
Just about.
So we'd have to almost change that whole zoning code if we left it as it is so the animals could come back into it, plus your commercial. So it's almost like we'd have to rename that whole zone to something totally different.
Commercial businesses normally stick around a long, long time.
Yeah, because you got too much develop or too much cost in your storefront property.
And you want to encourage sales tax.
You do.
You do. Employees. And the other way around, it limits that when you change it to go
the other direction.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So they go residential agriculture. You mentioned other businesses. I'm aware of the ones on up to First South, and then there is the one at Fourth South that I don't know for sure what they're doing. Is that the greenhouse or whatever?
And I think that's one of them, and there's the trucking outfit that's been there for years and years that does mechanic work and trucking.
He's going away. He's retired.
And then, like he said, the corner.
He's on the wrong side of the street.
Oh, that's right. He's on this side.
He's on this side. So right now the proposal on Peel on Main Street to go a half a block both directions too. That's commercial.
And also the Richmond's one that you're talking about, 400 South. Sorry, I'm speaking as a resident now.
Yeah.
I live down there. The Richmond's bought property in the industrial park. They weren't supposed to leave their business there where it is, the one where you're talking the greenhouse.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be building out an industrial park for theirs.
Well, then they have
property. Down there, nobody follows the commercial because everybody moves in there thinking that it's residential agricultural. They all bring in their huge animals and all of it. Nobody has followed the code on that down there as far as where I live to, you know, each direction.
Yeah.
The homes want to be residential agricultural because that's why they bought that property. That's why they want to.
Right.
Can I make a suggestion just to table this until we meet maybe with, have a discussion with planning and zoning on it and kind of look it over with Sam's, maybe meeting together with council?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Just, you don't meet till third week. So again, we can even talk, we can kind of table it for this time and bring it up again next month.
Sure.
And you'll have all time to go drive it and look at the lots that's there and everything else.
You got them other homes that are proposed going in there too that you got to consider.
Yeah, that's the area that was going up
right now. I mean, there's
that Johansson subdivision is right behind me that would want to also be the residential
agriculture.
Right. Yeah, I think I don't see anything wrong with the residential agriculture. But I think that First South probably ought to be exempted because you got the winery and...
Right.
We just need to extend that again a block.
Right.
Instead of a half a block, we need to go at least a block and a half.
So can you take that to the Planning Commission and get their input on that? And then, in all fairness to the people that on that street, probably ought to receive some kind of a letter.
Well, it's required by law to hold a public hearing.
Yeah. So I'd be okay with that.
Anything else you had, Dave? Or?
Yeah, that we did. So that's the rezone. There was the other two recommendations that they wanted to pass by the city council. I believe number two was the minimum square footage for primary dwellings. So our code right now in RS and RA, there's not really a defined minimum. So someone can come and say, hey, I want a 10 by 5 foot house, and I don't know, I have a mechanism to really not approve that. So the Planning Commission wanted to recommend this spec similar to San Pete County's permanent year-round residence of a 24 by 36 foot house for primary dwelling in an RS and RA zone. That's 864 square feet.
RS, define that for me, would you?
The residential single and residential agricultural zones.
Okay, okay. I thought that was already part of our ordinance.
And you know, there's not a minimum square foot called out.
But there is lot size, right?
Yes. Lot size, yes.
Right.
Lot size plus setbacks and different things.
You're right.
Yeah, we've done that, but we didn't do anything about the size of the homes.
Right.
Tiny homes are getting popular now.
Well, and what you call it, a tiny home is up for debate too. It's like I've literally had people ask me about a tough shed.
Yeah.
As housing costs keep going higher, we're going to see more and more.
And probably in the future, I think what the communities are doing is designating an area for them, and they have the streets and the sidewalks and the whatever else. So, but that's in the future. But I think this would probably be good for us now. I think, just my opinion, is we're rural and we want to do what we can to preserve that. The big cities, that they're so crowded and property so expensive, they want to do that to accommodate more people. That's up to them. But I don't see us trying to squeeze more homes in on. That's just my opinion.
This would have to come on that same public hearing.
This would be require another public hearing too.
We could do it all in the same one, though, right?
Right.
Right.
Then option, or not option, but the third thing that they wanted to have added is an allowable use in the commercial zones for, planned unit developments.
What kind of development?
Planned unit developments.
They're called PUD developments.
So kind of like your higher density planned out neighborhood, I guess you'd call it.
I mean, talking about like townhouses or?
It's not the way I would have put it myself, but I'm speaking for the Planning Commission and what they voted on.
So PUD association is the landowner owns the road, the buildings in there, does everything from basically from the street, and the city does nothing.
Well, it's
all owned by the landowner.
It's the same problem we have with Aspen Village. That's what Aspen Village was.
Yep.
Well, now it's all city.
Yep.
What's the difference between it and an HOA?
Well, I would say more like an HOA is kind of like a subcategory of a planned unit development. So they're very similar.
Yeah, so what happens when
the biggest difference probably is the who owns the roads. So a lot of times in your HOAs, the city will own the road, while in a PUD association, the owner, the city does not own the road.
Well, I don't think we like that, because we got problems with the ones we've had, so we better...
Well, there's pros and cons, though. Like, Ephraim has a lot of PUD associations, and you'd never know it.
Well, what keeps the PUDs solvent? I mean, what keeps them... What happens if it dissolves?
The trouble with the Aspen Village is they never met the standards of everybody being on a separate water meter and all that stuff, which you still have to on PUDs. All have to be on your same water.
But the problem is that they don't maintain the roads for 20 years, and then they turned all over and dissolved it. Now the city's responsible for 20 years of bad maintenance on roads.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I'd be careful with that one. And they're
why I asked the difference between that and an HOA. I mean, that's a home. That's the developers too.
A lot of times with HOA, though, they develop it and then they turn the road over to the city, where a PUD owner owns the road. It depends. Some homeowners associations still owns the roads, and some do not.
My opinion is commercial zone areas need to remain commercial, residential. So I'd ever see businesses.
I guess I'm curious why they would want to put it in commercial zone. You know what I'm saying?
Because there's a certain developer that would like to do it, and it's zone commercial right now.
Oh.
Well, so they already have something that's looking wanted.
Yep.
I'd rather see a business on that property than a. That's just my opinion.
So again, what these want to do basically is a bunch of tiny homes, smaller homes, and more like Airbnb, so it's basically like cabin motels.
Was he planning on migrant workers coming in, or?
It sounds like multiple residential.
But the problem is trying to get away from it, maybe some different codes with doing that. Because your fire codes for a motel versus a.
Well, it wouldn't be attached though. They'd all be separate little buildings with a break.
They'll call a rental and a motel, they have to meet a different fire code.
Justin has a comment.
Okay.
Go ahead, Justin.
So I want to comment real quick on the pros and cons of the planning and development. One of the benefits is that it gives the city some flexibility to maybe go away from what their typical zoning ordinances are and negotiate with developers so they get maybe higher density, but then the developer gives the city some benefit too. So it kind of opens the doors for a win-win situation rather than going directly with the zoning ordinance. So there are some benefits in some circumstances. I don't think the PUD fits every circumstance, but it's certainly a good option to have if to have on the table if there's a situation that merits that. So anyway, that's just my comment.
Before we're done, we've got a way to get in the bat. Well,
again, it's nothing we're making a decision on tonight. So.
Yeah, I know. But I guess in my mind, I'd like more information about them.
Where are they planning on putting it? I mean, where are they putting their ones
for individuals?
Like 300 North on State Street.
450 North State Street.
We want to put a big.
Brett Nicholson would like to do some mini houses there as rental units.
450 North State Street. Is that on the east side of the road or the west?
West.
Yep. So basically, you'd have a driveway in there and have little homes all around.
Yeah. Yep. But that is zoned commercial right now, so that would be the thing is the zoning as it stands right now would have to be changed to allow the PUDs in a commercial zone.
Or they'd have to be zoned out to RA, which I thought that made more sense, but that's not the way the planning commission wanted to go.
Well, that'd be pretty hard to know because they do have businesses right there, quote.
Yeah, you'd have to take half the block. And if not, again, so you'd be breaking up that zoning. So.
Well, question, if you don't mind. If you're talking about planning, do we still have impact fees that when these people build?
Yes.
Okay, they came back on?
They just come back on. The electrical just come back on a week ago. The water's been on for about 2 months.
Do you mind me asking how much an impact fee is?
The water is $5,500. The power depends on the amperage, and I can't remember.
$298,000.
Okay.
And I guess the water sewer type thing is all?
The water and power is all we've got right now.
Oh.
But if somebody extends our lines right now, they have to foot the cost of extending any sewer and water lines too, plus that impact fee.
Okay.
I guess we just need more information. It's what it boils down to, and I don't know.
The
try to schedule like a joint meeting or something with the planning commission? Would that be beneficial, a work session?
I think we need a work session to explain the difference between what we would call planned unit development versus just a HOA type deal.
Okay. Me and Mayor will work on that, setting up that time.
Because even some of these, I know like for Glen Pill, would it be better for him to do just a planned unit development, or would it be better to do, you know, his development?
Yeah.
But right now, we don't have anything on the books for a planned unit development, right?
We do.
Oh, we do?
Just not in commercial.
Just not in commercial zones.
Oh.
Yeah.
And we want to put it in commercial. We want to prove that we can do it in commercial.
Yes.
You want to set a date?
Do you want to set a date?
When do your planning commission meet?
Planning commission is noon on the third Tuesday.
So I need like the 19th at noon.
And they meet during the day?
Yes.
Thoughts? Yes, let me know.
I don't think I'd be able to attend at noon.
I think we need it in the evenings.
Yeah. It'd work better for us if they want to do one. If somebody's really pressing the issue and they want to do it.
Should we temporarily set one for like the 13th?
Night?
There's Tuesday. Okay, sorry, the 12th.
That's the second.
That's the city council. So we'd have to go the 19th, which would be their day.
Just okay in the evening then.
Do you want to ask them and see? Well, let's tentatively set one for a work session for the 19th with the planning and zoning.
6 o'clock?
Yeah. That works for everybody?
I can make it to that meeting, yeah.
Okay, let's plan that.
All right, it's you, Sam.
Yeah.
I'm going to put
it. Thank you, Justin.
Sorry, I'm on my phone, so it's a little hard to navigate. Oh, this is tax pay. What did you say?
The 19th of October at 6. Okay. Okay. As my partner's telling me that while Dave tries, he's going to reach out to the planning commission to make sure they can do it too.
Public housing development.
Basically, what it'd be is just a work session.
What's the PUD?
Planned unit development.
And we do have that in residential, huh?
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Is that how they go last one village? That's not a good example, is it?
No, it's not. It's a terrible one. It's a terrible one. Because again, it should be at meters to every,
right,
every place.
And there's a lot of issues with that one, but I mean, that's reality that was supposed to be, and that's what that really originally was.
Yes, yeah.
So.
So that's a bad planned unit development. So
I mean, we've got to only go back.
Yeah, that's the bad
one. We don't use that one, for example, then. I've got the public police.
Yeah.
That's
something.
Yes. I was just saying that I
Okay, that would be great. I don't know if y'all heard that. Justin's down at the Utah League of Cities and Towns, and he said he's going to reach out to the lady down there that he knows knows quite a bit about the PUDs and that and the difference between them and HOAs, and he'll bring the information back to share at that planning meeting.
That would be great. Great, great. Okay, next is our public participation. We have Dana Sorensen.
I'll stand up here because we can't hear a thing that's being said. It'd be nice if you just had a microphone so that it's a little bit easier to understand what's going on and what someone's backs to you. So, here we are. I'm here again concerning the last meeting that I brought up the issue of the trees dying along State and Main. And after listening to the last meeting, I realized there's a lot bigger fish to fry but I believe it's a big issue and it needs to be addressed. And it needs to be owned by the council and by the mayor, that it needs to be taken care of. I realize again that there is a drought. That's the big issue. I talked with Matt Palmer and he said, looked at the trees again, and they are dying because lack of water. He said they need to have a good watering every week until winter comes, because they start forming the buds and things, and we'll just lose more and more. But when we ended the meeting last time, you asked Coulter Allen to get the water ready, and I just would like the progress report on what has been done.
Well, Coulter, what happened there? We talked about it. I know that Jack had the question going on out there, so the tanker truck was probably tied up there. But
thank you. So we bought, as far as the sanitary and the other three, we bought the sprinkler. The farmers have cut back using, so we've been able to up the timers at the park and the cemetery to get those trees watered better.
I'm talking about the trees on State and Main.
So Main, we went through our sprinklers and got everything fixed. They've been getting watered more also with the drip system. So everything from State Street to Second right here is on drip. But we run on the clock. We've upped our timers there.
What about Main? I don't see that anything's happened. It's hard as a rock. I don't see that there's been any watering on State.
State? We haven't got to State yet.
I wish we could get the homeowners there to help us. That's what it's
Well, last
show.
Time it was brought up that that's the homeowner's responsibility. Do they know that? And also, there's not a homeowner. Look at in front of the old high school. There are a lot of places where there's not homeowners to care for that. And many do. And many have taken out the dead trees and replanted. But I just think that it needs to be taken care of. It just continues to go on. It's asked to be done and nothing happens. And here we are at the end of the season.
So now with some more water, we're going to be able to get some more done now.
When?
It's too late now.
Before the end of the season? Are you going to water this week?
Yeah, we can water this week.
Yeah, I don't think Jack has any. The tanker truck, I knew that would be an issue. As soon as I found out that equestrian was going on out there, I went, okay, because
so
there's
no other option. The city doesn't have a truck that they can put a water tank or something on to go around and give each, not a force fire hose water, but
no, you want it. I asked Coulter to hook three hoses up so we could do three trees at once and just let it trickle. Let it sit there for a couple of hours and just soak it. And then move up and try to do three trees again. That's what we talked about. We was going to fix the truck up to do that with. I don't think we have another truck, do we?
Paul Madsen suggested something last meeting.
Our old truck leaks faster. It would leak out on the ground faster than we could get it to a tree.
So what can we do?
Try to reach out to homeowners to help us too.
That's where our big needs to come from.
Well, let me tell you, for years though, the city watered the trees. Michelle Munson was in here, he watered them.
Yeah.
Ellie Hughes, when he had the old screener down here, he watered them all the time. They go right down State Street. I remember that as long as I can. And that's the way they kept them alive. A lot of people don't have a water situation, right? Nobody lives there, so they don't get water. And the first thing when you go through a town is what you notice is the trees and how it looks. And so the beautification means a lot when people are driving through your city. And so to me, that's important to have that look nice.
So the ambulance,
I think some way the city ought to figure out something to make it work, you know.
The Ambulance Association owns the old high school property. They're getting ready to build a building there.
Well, I'm just saying,
I
feel that you need to own the issue. And I encourage every one of you to write to the surrounding communities and look when you enter and go through town what they look like. Fairview, Moroni, Spring City, Ephraim. It's just a big difference. I know there's a drought for everyone, but I just feel like it's getting pushed off. You don't want to deal with it, and it just goes on and on. It's not just this year. It's been in years in the past. And you mentioned that you've run a drip line out to your trees, and they're beautiful. So why can't that be something that's put in? a drip system along the state for the trees to, not this year, but something to be thought about.
It would have to come off the homeowner's area, though.
Well, what do you do on Main Street? How do you water them trees on that beautification thing you put in there?
That was put in lots of years ago. I don't know if we can get underneath all the roads going on State Street.
Well, on State Street, you don't have, you got a lot that you don't have. It's all soil. You know, it's all dirt. You're not going underneath it. I'm just meaning there's, we got to be some means to fix up.
So like these here, we pull off of different buildings to water some of these.
There's a main under the sidewalk to the tree wells. And that was put in, I don't know how long ago. More dual.
I agree. I'm with you 100%. There's something needs to be done.
And let's do it.
There's lots that needs to be done.
Right. Well, let's start with this first.
Yeah, we're working on it. Well, there's a lot of firsts. There's a lot of firsts going on in this city right now. There's a lot of firsts going on. In May, we was here every week. In June, we was here 4 weeks. This city council is working, trying to take care of this city. And I agree that these trees need to be taken care of.
But I'm just saying, I don't worry anything about
that. But it's something that we need to get a tanker truck and water these trees.
Do we have any, do you know if the Ambulance Association, is there any irrigation or any water even available over there in that block?
We have a co-ordinating line over there, but there's no tap to come up or anything.
Because the church, we had to go to the church and approach the church and ask them just to turn on the sprinklers. That'd be our best solution there. Yeah. Rather than even running a water truck there along the church.
Matt said he asked the church not to put water in the trees. The grass.
Who did?
Matt Palmer. He said, I told them, don't stop watering the trees. The trees can't survive, the grass can.
So that's what we ought to, on the church property there, we ought to go to the church and see if they could turn on those sprinklers. Because that would be better than any water truck. For sure.
And if we approach the homeowners that live there that can water, see if we can't get them to help. That takes down the amount that the city's trying to get watered. So try and get more people helping you get it done.
I think that's ought to be our first approach, is we ought to spend a day rather than going with the water truck. We ought to go knock on doors and talk to this. To the city or to the property owners we can along State Street there, and see if they wouldn't be willing to run a water hose out and water those trees.
And there was a write-up in the newspaper in the last edition of the Messenger where it was mentioned we're not signing for watering trees right now. So that went out in the newspaper. But I agree, it's a disaster. And it's we need to remove the dead ones and plant new ones. Some of them are too far gone to save, and I absolutely agree that we need.
Thank you.
And we need to plant them where they can get water. That's the trouble again, or somehow, because just to go replant them unless we got a water system ain't going to help us either.
Yeah, I just haven't died again. There has to be a plan in place. So
it's just
it drives me crazy.
So you will water this week? You will water them this week?
Yeah.
We're running out of time. They need to have a good soak. Matt said they have to have a good soak before winter.
We will talk to all the homeowners and anywhere that they're not.
I don't really think we can rely on the homeowners.
They only have 4 hours. So I'm going to turn that on.
Well, the irrigation's not off right now.
Who was able to leave it on this last week?
Part of it,
but
we got breaks.
Yeah.
When are you planning on turning it off?
15th.
October 15th.
October 15th. So there's time to get a good soaking with people who have trees. And you mentioned that there was an article in the paper that said that
they're not citing for people watering trees.
Okay, so.
Clarification, Natalie, you said one good soak a week.
He said at this point, because they haven't had anything. Not just this summer, but in the past, unless the people that have the tree in front of their house have been taking care of that.
And if they did it one day a week until our water went off, they'd be okay if it's one day with
I guess anything would help.
Well, it's a good soak turnaround. Sorry, I'm just asking because I know we're going
to
be able to
help. I don't know, because there has to be like a grassroots level that has to soak down in. It's 24 hours, Jean.
It needs to stop for 20, it's like the water should be on for 20 minutes.
We're not talking gushing, just a trickle, he said, just a trickle. I just think it's a shame to let them die. I think it's really disrespectful to what's been done for our city in the past, and even the Main Street project, it looks terrible. And I know that was grant money that provided for that, and probably was when Amor Jewel was in, because she was big on that, and it made a big difference in our city.
Can you use any citizen voluntary help to canvass the homeowners and maybe help go around?
We could.
Talk to them?
We could. That would help a whole bunch.
Who can we coordinate that with?
With Coulter, our public works director.
I think it's something that needs to not only this year, but it needs to be, they need to know that in the future they can use that to water them trees out there that we would like their trees taken care of in the future also. I mean, I'll be upfront with you. I've noticed them dying and everything, but I haven't, you know, this summer is when I've noticed it the most. I hadn't noticed it until this summer. We talked about it in council before.
There's a lot of trees throughout town everywhere that's dying.
It's dying throughout town, and it's in between the property and the city and everything. So we went through this issue, and I don't know, it was March or something, we got in, talked about that.
I know, I've heard several times.
Yeah. It's been brought up, and I agree with you. Yeah, there's, we need a long-term fix. We don't need something.
Well, again, I'll be watching, and I hope that it can happen, because I won't let it go. I don't think any of us should let it go.
I don't think you should either.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks for bringing it up.
Pam.
There we go. Again, I just, I want to say the same thing. It's been over 2 months that I was promised that we would get the water truck going. And then last meeting, Bo said he spoke with you, Mr. Mayor, and that they couldn't use the water truck because the water would just gush out and go down the gutters. So they decided not to do that. Paul Madsen suggested a different truck with different hoses. I don't know where that is either. I don't know what kind of equipment the city has. But my concern is, and still is the trees, the cemetery. There's a pretty pine down the corner. It's almost gone. The pine by the Wagamama Park. If you don't get that water this year, you're not going to have it. And I know there's trash trees there, but they're green and they're growing. So let's water them. You tell me. I volunteered. I offered Rick's help. I just, and every time I come, you say, yes, we're going to get on it. Yes, we're going to do it.
The biggest problem is we've only got one truck.
But before, I remember a council meeting where they said that the water truck was working. Now it's not. It runs out too much. What about this one that Paul suggested?
The only one we got is the one that's down to the arena. That's the only water truck we have.
The old one that I was getting in town doesn't have brakes. When we went to use it, they had no brakes.
So how many backhoes is the city on? How many backhoes do we have?
Two.
Two backhoes? So can we not fix the brakes?
Are you referring to the cemetery trees or all the trees?
My concern has been the cemetery. But then I've gone on and I think they all need to be done. But, you know, the cemetery wasn't just the trees, it was the whole cemetery.
Right.
And you know that. And I brought you pictures so you could all see, you know. But, you know, I just think we all need to be concerned with how things look. You can't replace a 150-year-old pine tree. When the wind hit and took the one down, the city went and took the other one down as well. There was nothing wrong with it. It could have stayed. But now it's gone too. I'm just saying, you know, let's be aware of what's going on. Let's try and take care of what we've got. But it's been approached, and I talked to you many times, so I just want to know what we're going to do.
The biggest areas that we can go to the residential, since the residents live along there, that's what we really need to focus on and get them to help water what they can.
So the water truck isn't available then? We're not going to use that?
we'll have to see if we can get it away from the arena.
I imagine it's available if they know somebody needs it. They've just got to retrofit it with the hoses like was talked about.
That's the trouble.
He's been good to...
It would come out to be precious.
Huh?
Just to do it the way it is right now, you'd have to retrofit it with hoses.
Right.
Because it would... No, I don't think it would soak. I think it would flood out.
Well, that's why I made suggestion that I told Coulter that I'd hook something up so we could get three hoses off of it. And the hose is long enough, we could get three trees at a time.
Yeah, have some ideas.
Yeah, and I
would just let them soak.
They have those totes. See, they're out for sale at the hardware store right now. Those plastic totes with the metal cage. I don't know if the city has any of those laying around, but if you throw one of them on a flatbed truck and plumb it into a garden hose, I think they're 200-300 gallon totes.
I think they're 250 gallons.
Yeah, they're 250.
You can clean up a couple of those and just throw it in the back of a truck.
I got one here to borrow.
It's just an idea.
Yeah.
I know the hardware store has a bunch for sale right now. That's how they haul water up into these stress subdivisions for their cabins up there.
So have you got manpower to make this a priority to get that done this week, Coulter?
Yeah, I'm getting it done.
Are you willing to help go knock on some doors?
Hey, I've been here trying to get some offer of my help for a year and a half.
That's what I think we need to start with.
I would be more than happy to. Would you like to come with me?
Sure.
If you get one side, I'll hit the other. Sounds good.
And the businesses.
And we need to look. I'd really like to see, does Wasatch, do they have any culinary water over there that we could throw a tap on?
Why did they stop watering them logs anyway?
I don't know. I think it's just a water restriction. They were going to go to Zeal Escape this year in front of the high school, what we was told. Do they have any place that we could throw a tap on there to water that log?
Yeah, we can turn those sprinklers on.
Could we go to a valve box there and just take that valve box and put a tap on it? It's what I'm thinking, so that we could actually take the hose.
I don't know. So the water comes from clear over by the old wood shop building. It comes all the way across, and then that sprinkler system is really, really old. It's only got one valve. There's only one. The timer runs one valve for every
for everything.
Along, yeah.
Because that's the secret, really. Like you're saying on the trees, we need them to soak.
I think Justin has another comment. Is that right, Justin?
Oh, we have a fire hydrant
on every corner of the town. Fire hydrant. What was that?
A fire hydrant. Culture. They're pretty close to every corner.
Pretty close to every corner, Culture says.
Well, I'm just wondering what the kid used the fire hydrant with the check valve or something to maybe bring stuff up to water the trees. I guess Whistler's away. I think we can probably do something out. I think there's a lot of ways we can do that. To me, after we built a water track back and forth, that you've got pipe or something, or even just a home or have the residents, you can always hook a hose up to the residents' tap too. I mean, there's a lot of things we can do. So that's my 2 cents.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we'll get working on it.
Yes. You know, to use irrigation water where we can. That's got risers.
Yeah, we could. Most of the areas it would still probably be on culinary, because I think the Wasatch Gym's all in culinary. But if we could get a tap there to water those trees, that block, that would help a lot. If we could get the church to just turn on their sprinklers, that would take care of about another block's worth.
Well, see, the church thought they were doing the right thing by not watering.
Yes, they did.
That's part of this, too.
Yeah.
People They've chosen not to order on Kirk.
Ephraim's church is really nice down in Ephraim, so, you know.
They have a lot more well water than we do, that's the win.
Yeah, so who's going to contact the church and?
Coulter will contact them. See if we can't get them to turn on their sprinklers. See if we can't get.
Who was that?
Morris. And see what we could do if we get the tap over there, the boy of the Wasatch Gym, see if there'd be any. Let's at least look at that too before we.
There might be a tap on the outside of the building, that'd be a fair to turn around down there too.
Watch the tripping hazard, but. All right, next item is the approval of a planned advance grant for a sewer capital facility plant future project. We applied for a $50,000 grant and did receive it. The grant's for $50,000, the city would have to come up with $15,000, and that's to do the engineering to do the sewer capital facility plant project to put the head end system on the sewer.
So we got a $50,000 grant?
Yes.
And the city's got to pay $15,000?
Yes.
And the project's going to cost $50,000?
$65,000 altogether, to do the engineering. That was the estimated cost.
That's just the engineering, man.
That's just the engineering, yes.
That's not the headwork, man.
No. We had to have this facility plan before we could apply for any funding to do the headworks systems, what we realized when we started applying.
Would sewer impact fees be something we'd be willing to look into?
That could come on the plan.
Because I know surrounding communities have sewer impact fees, and if we're running into issues because of growth, just.
Part of what we have to watch on that, at least my understanding is if we do the sewer impact fees, we'd have to watch how we're doing right now, because right now we make the developer make the extensions on any sewer lines. If you do impact fees, then it comes back to where part of that qualifies for impact fees.
So what kind of headwork are we talking about?
Talking about headworks that would pull the baby wipes and junk out to get it out of our pond.
And be going down at the pond, right?
It's at the pond.
So years ago, we already had a company that came in that wasn't that much money to do all that. We're looking at maybe $20,000.
Gunnison's just done theirs, and theirs was about $400,000.
Put theirs on the system that was on, because this system I had been looking at was automated, it would come in and dump in the dumpster, and then the dumpster people would come in and haul off.
Yeah, it's kind of the same way. But Gunnison.
So how do they collect them?
Where it collects on the screen. And then the screen just
kind of has a conveyor belt on it.
So there's a head house already there.
All down in Gunn Center?
No, out here.
No. No, but they would tie it into the existing where it flows in to the ponds.
Oh, so we had a company.
There's a concrete ditch right now. There's a concrete ditch out there that they would just tie into, which is where we were originally looking at it.
But we don't do anything now, huh?
No.
So it's creating.
Yeah, there's nothing now.
So it's creating a problem for our sewer ponds.
Yes. Years ago, it started, once they started coming out with all these different wipes and stuff, they started scattering all the ponds and making messes everywhere. I mean, they're pretty bad sanitary problem.
Yeah, especially since wipes come out as flushable now, everybody's flushing them, and that's creating a problem.
Well, I think we're due for an upgrade.
I think we need to at least do the study just to see whether or not we do impact fees or nothing else, and we can get the grant to basically pay for the to study and see where we're at with our sewer system. I think it's a win.
Yeah, have them evaluate it.
Yeah. There's just things here that we have to do.
Would you come out of the sewer budget?
Yes.
There's money in there to do that.
We got money in
$50,000?
For the coming out of sewer budget.
That could come in less depending on what the offer.
For bid, for the engineering bid. Do you want to make the motion, move forward with it?
I'll make a motion and we move forward with the, getting the grant for a sewer capital facility plant, you know, for the, what is it called?
Planning advance grant for the sewer capital facility plant and future projects.
We already got the grant, it's going for the grant.
We have got the grant.
All I gotta do is just make a motion and we move forward.
Yep.
So my quick question, that before finishing work, I guess, would be just, have we looked at the companies and have them come in? Because you know your flows, you know your size of everything, and then you come in, that's the biggest thing of what you need. If we had any of these companies come in and give us a quote on actually what it would cost.
Coulter, are you aware that we had any companies come in and give us a cost estimate on head end?
No.
Headworks?
Not that I know of.
This grant would go through our whole sewer system.
So it's not just a...
It's just not the headworks, no, it's a whole study of our sewer system and everything that way.
Okay, I make more sense.
Yeah. To get to whether or not we should put impact fees back on sewer or what.
So it's all part of the package?
It's all part of this package deal, yeah. Yep. So I have Russ making the motion, do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, I have a motion by Russell and seconded by Kevin to proceed with the planning advance grant for the sewer capital facility plant and future projects. Roll call.
Justin?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Russell?
Yes.
Ronke?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay, next is the shared agreement with the school district. I emailed to you. Anybody have any questions on that?
I don't. No, I read through it. It looked good to me. It looks like they're going to help out the pool more and help out with the... We're going to go half and half on the parking lot of the fourplex.
Yeah. What changes were made to the original areas?
There was nothing in there for the swimming pool.
Yeah.
The kids now will buy a swim pass. So each kid at Sun Custom, $50 for that swim pass, which will come to the city. The school is going to have a lifeguard, so we'll only be providing one lifeguard. The school is responsible for the other one. The coaches would be lifeguard certified. Okay. Basically, the biggest thing, biggest change with this here is that the city was getting nothing out of the school district using the pool. That's the biggest change.
So now they'll be paying $50 to help with custodial costs.
Basically for our lifeguard costs.
And they have to buy a swim pass.
Well, that swim pass is what...
Swim pass is included in all that.
Is the $50 that'll cost each kid to be on the swim team to...
Okay.
And then the school district is stepping up to help with one lifeguard, so we only have to have one lifeguard there.
It looks so... The email, I couldn't find it.
You know, my suggestion on this is they ought to look at doing with Wasatch as well. I mean, I know Wasatch pays this, but it wouldn't be a bad idea to have something in a written agreement.
We're going to try and address this every year. So if you notice on the dates, we've gone from September of 21 to September of 2022, and then we want to readdress it every year. Mm-hmm. So that this agreement does get looked at every year instead of setting a file for 10 years and nobody looks at it. So that's our hope. But I do agree, we need to pull Wasatches out and do the exact same thing and put it that way.
Okay.
Okay, all those in favor of accepting that shared use agreement?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, I'll go ahead and sign it. We'll move on with that.
Is there a motion made? Just
I'll make
the
motion.
Sam made the motion.
I'll second the motion we accept that agreement with the school district.
Do you need a roll call on that? Because
yeah,
I was going to say, with this being the way it is, so. Okay. Next item is, we're having trouble at the pool, we're losing our lifeguards like crazy. We gotta do something to help give them a pay raise to keep them. Part of the thing that Brittany's come up with is we're gonna raise the candy and all the supplies, hoping that we can come up with some more money that way. But eventually we are gonna have to look at raising maybe some things.
I think it was a senior fees, wasn't it?
Yeah, she recommended that we, I'll pass, you know, I got a couple of copies here to pass down.
I visited with her today, so I know.
A couple of things she suggested that we look at, maybe increasing the swimming lessons $5, private lessons $5. One I really struggle with it is the senior pass. And that would go from 80 to 85 a year.
We still have a lot of private parties there? Or is that?
We have a few.
Because that's somewhere we can, I feel like we can look at raising the price a little bit for those private parties. Because that's taking away swim time from the public.
Public? That's a good suggestion.
That'd be a better option than seniors.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that $85 is for two.
For two people.
For two a year. So that's not sustainable. Talking about $45
a year.
They use them. They're up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Senator, nothing we have to decide upon tonight. Any suggestions you've got?
Yeah, I'd like to see if it's a price of those private parties.
Okay.
That takes away. I know people get frustrated when they dress up and go swim and
they get kicked out or can't go.
It's closed for a private party.
So what are the hours at the pool? Because I know when I was going swimming, they shut it down at 10:30 in the morning until 3. And it's like, well, that's the only time I can go because I'm not a 5:30 person and I'm working in the afternoon. So did they open it back up? I've spent $80 on a pass and I don't go swimming now.
That's our problem too. We're having to shut down Thursdays now because we don't even have staff to run.
We don't have the lifeguards.
We don't have lifeguards to run.
How? Paid enough? Are these younger kids? Oh,
yeah.
No.
That's them.
I worked for $2.90 at the Steak and Turkey plant. They're just wanting a handout.
If they can go down the street to McDonald's and get 12, 14 bucks an hour.
Well, maybe McDonald's go under them. I don't know.
It's
demanding that we pay.
Well, the restaurants and everything are facing the same problem. They
Nobody
can't get
wants
workers.
To work.
Nobody
they
wants to work.
Well,
yep.
Look who we got for president. That's why. I'm sorry. Let's get him out.
The only other suggestion maybe I could say is you look and maybe check the costs, maybe shop around with different chemicals and stuff. I know you're going to have certain people some different times, but you know, maybe a different vendor may have a different cheaper price. It may save some cost too.
Okay.
I mean, just if we're looking at options.
Yeah,
it'd be something for her to look at. I'll tell you, she works pretty hard, that old bit up there, keeping everything in line. But
I mean, those are just sometimes you don't think about, like you're always hearing from the same vendor, but sometimes you get somebody that, I mean, it's the same product.
Okay. Good idea. Good plan. Any suggestions?
She don't mention what she pays for wages in this, does she?
For the lifeguards?
They're $8-$9 an hour.
If they're, yeah, just a regular lifeguard, $8.15. The lead lifeguard, I believe, is $8.
I was going to say like $9.
Almost $9.
See, and that's all you can get is high school kids.
And that's part of the trouble.
You know what? They need to learn to work. And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That, you, I was a lifeguard too, and you're sitting there.
But that's part of the trouble.
Sitting there for $9 an hour. That's a pretty good job.
That's part of the trouble why we can't stay open during the days. It's because they're all high school kids, so they're all at school.
I know. But then I was thinking, well, what about, you know, I don't know, kids at Wasatch who don't have, I don't know their schedule, but maybe they could be part lifeguards too. I don't know if they're allowed off campus or what.
Do they give the lifeguards any kind of perks, like a swim pass or anything like that?
They can swim for free.
They can swim for free, but is there ways of doing something maybe to do that for maybe, you know, plus one or plus two people, and give them some different incentives to stay there?
And there's going to be some kind of different options.
I know Brittany's tried a bunch to try and keep it a little open.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying she has, I'm just trying to help think outside the block maybe, but.
I think they're very dedicated. The kids have been in there and watched them. They're dedicated to that. They're watching, they're trained, and maybe even $10 an hour would be more of an incentive, but they are. They're not mingling with others. They're dedicated to what they need to do, and they're watching the little kids, and I'm really quite impressed with what they do. So maybe even $10 an hour would be a fair salary for them.
Well, that's what she's proposing to raise as far as to come up with more money.
Yeah, we're trying to raise like candy and different things that doesn't affect people going to the pool. So again, going back to our seniors type deal, we're trying to raise things to be able to pay the lifeguards more.
Because I think that takes a lot away from the community and the people that are assessed that each. So you have grandkids come or something on the weekend, let's go to the pool. Oh no, there's a private party. We can't do that. I think that maybe that should be a greater charge and passed on that way.
I don't know what she charges right now.
It's $100 an hour for a private party.
These are how incentives are becoming like a lead lifeguard gives you a raise for that.
But say if you start out at $8 an hour, say if you're there 3 months and you get maybe $9 an hour, you know, like there's some incentive to keep us there, what I'm saying.
I know we're trying to do a lifeguard deal where if they will come and take the lifeguard course and commit to 6 months, then we'll pay the lifeguard course for them. For their certification. So we're trying to do some. Yeah, we're trying to do certain things that way, but they got to be committed for 6 months to work for us, or else they have to pay back.
Writing, and then they're committed. They have to learn commitment.
Right, and then if they break that, we've got at least their last check we can hold to help offset that cost that they've agreed upon. So. Okay.
So do we need to make a motion on what she's been told, or?
I think we need to go back with some other suggestions to her.
Suggestions first, because.
Yeah, that's kind of part of the reason why we just brought it up. So I'll go back with those suggestions. We'll look at it.
I mean, give her more. I mean, she, like you said, she worked hard.
She does.
So are you going to do this next one?
Yes. All right, number 12, discussion action to move forward with the well purchase and explore the funding options.
Well, we pretty well hashed this out already, haven't we?
I think so.
The public hearing, that got hashed out pretty good, so. And the councilman having it.
I'm 100% in on it. I want to have a garden next year.
What is it, 15 acre feet for every year?
515 acres.
515 acres.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Wasn't this? This is one that we talked about in the past, but it's only high water, correct?
It's irrigation water.
Is this different one? I thought the rights were high water.
Oh. Irrigation water. That can be transferred to a culinary well, but right now. The way we got the option is to buy the ground around it, we would leave it as irrigation.
So is this the one that you're talking about knowing that in the meeting, though, that it's off at a little temple, like that's the only kind of water that's what it originally was, it comes with the water.
Yeah, so that's originally what we thought, but the one got into it, and it's not.
It is not.
It's 515 acre feet of irrigatable water.
So I'll make a motion that we move forward with the well, explore and then the funding options for the well. Purchase and explore the funding options for the well.
I'll second that.
Go ahead.
And you're Kevin.
Rondi and Kevin.
Second, third.
All right, I have a motion by Russell and seconded by Rondi and Kevin to move forward with the well purchase of the 515 acre feet and explore the funding options. Roll call.
Justin.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Russell.
Yes.
Rodney?
Yes.
Sam?
Did you say yes or no?
No, I don't know. I was just waiting, sorry. I kind of tore it up, but...
Just say no.
That's kind of what I was going to do, so...
Okay. Fire department report.
Not too much. Had that, or we had a mass village 2 weeks ago now, not 2 weeks ago. Submitted bids for our truck, request for on last Thursday. So they're due back on the 7th, so we'll find out where we're sitting there, so... We only get one company to build, just because of our length, so we get a whole lot of options. Must be building a station. So, and the problem we're going to keep running into is our structure, main structure, rig structure coming up, we're going to have the same problem.
We can barely hear you.
Fire, we had the Aspen Hills fire a couple weeks ago. Basically, structure fire, kept it to a quarter acre. We have put in bid requests for a new ladder truck. They are due back on the 7th.
And that comes through the fire district?
That comes through the fire district, not through the city, so... We will be getting, or we will be getting bids back on the 7th. We'll probably open them on our next meeting after, which is, not, it's the 9th, I think. So, we'll see where we're sitting. Other than that, got a new, couple new guys that are working on getting joined and still trying to get them squared down. We've got a lot of younger kids that are under 18 that we're still trying to connect with insurance reasons of what we can and can't do with them, so... It'd be nice to get them kind of trained so when they turn 18, they're all...
It's good we got them wanting to.
That's all I've got.
Public Works.
We're working on cleaning up the city right-of-way still, all the sucker trees and bushes that are out in the city right-of-way. Lynn and Dave and all guys have really done an excellent job getting a lot of those trimmed out. We've been cutting with the power guys a little bit, helping them with their line trimming. Right now we're working on installing everything to hook up section D in the cemetery. We got that about halfway through.
Are you going to try and plant that then?
No, we're going to wait till spring. With the frost and stuff that's coming in, I don't think it's a great idea to do it this fall. I have quite a few different water services we've had hooked up in the last 2 weeks. Just single homes, the building permits have come through. We've got a few more coming up in the next couple weeks. We're trying to knock out like Parish Dew Plant and a few of those others. And then now we're trying to get along and get ready for fall. Still mowing grass and guys have really been going through the sprinkler systems, trying to get everything dialed in now that we can water a little more and trying to get everything soaked back up the best we can before fall off. So that's all I've got.
Okay.
Oh, one more. They started punching the well, the test well. When I left this afternoon from up there, they were about 145 feet. At 80 feet, they hit pretty good water. They hit about 70 gallons a minute, which he said was really kind of odd being that shallow. So he's really thinking that we have a good chance of hitting good water there. So they're going to try to go to 300. So hopefully they'll be done drilling that test well by the end of the week. So we should know what we've got. So.
And then I did get an email from Devin that the pilot study, the water treatment equipment is complete. West Tech has submitted their report to the state. We should have a green light to move forward with those designs of the treatment plants. So.
Yeah, so everything with West Tech went really well with the water, the pilot plant.
Probably a lot better than they expected, wasn't it?
It was, actually. So making the water and everything looks really good. So. It's going to be a proficient well-done plant. So.
I think you'd probably do well to stand here and kind of address the all of the people along with us, so that everybody can hear what's going on.
Can you guys hear me on the well? So the test well's going good. They get water about 8 feet, about 70 gallons a minute. They were at 140 feet when I left up there this afternoon. So hopefully by the end of the week, they're down 300 feet. We'll have an answer on what we're going to get from that well. And then the pilot plant went really well. So the water, our water makeup is really good. We won't have to flip through much, which will make it a cheaper running plant. Be able to bring that over 300 gallons a minute back into our system also. So things are really looking good on the culinary side. So. Yeah.
Did you get your mowers fixed?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
do we have three mowers, is that correct? Or is there four?
There's four. There's one still down at Cable Grove that I'm waiting on from down here. So.
And is it possible for Cooper to turn on the irrigation or the water at the Wagon Wheel Park so
yes.
that he get those trees in there?
We can get that turned on more. So there, it is a positive. We're trying to get everything caught back up before we go in winter.
Yeah.
So it's been a rough summer.
Power. Maybe we'll have you stand over there the same way.
All right. I talk pretty loud as it is.
Shane, this age, what does it do with the speakers now?
Oh, okay. I was just going to tell you guys, we'll look into that.
It would be nice to have maybe.
I'll get with Jeremy on it and see what we can figure out.
There are some other options, too, that I found out about at my conference that we can probably talk about, too, that are wireless that we don't have to
deal with that.
Okay. Justin had his hand raised and I was finding a break to let you know. Do you still have something to say, Justin?
Well, I just had a quick question on the water connections. Are we back to how our crews do those? Or is the
contractor
still paying for that? To have some little contract to do?
Contractor.
The contractor still lives there.
The city does the hot tap, and I know of the salt meter now.
All right, I just want some clarification on that. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, so yeah, so we'll look at, I'll get with Jeannie, we'll look into this, because we definitely need something. We went up to the municipal toolkit today, that UNAP's at, Utah Associated Municipal Power Systems at. I'll try to get away from all the acronyms so you guys can kind of understand what I'm kind of talking about. But it was real good. We talked about rates. We talked about the Carbon Free Power Project. We talked about, which is the nuclear power project up in Idaho Falls National Laboratory. And so it was real good. So I want to get the last study we had on our rates. Was 2014, so I want to start looking into some quotes to actually go over our rates and see where we're kind of sitting to make sure. We're supposed to look into that anyways every 3 to 5 years. You're supposed to look at it every year, which we're going to start doing, and then every 3 to 5 years exactly have a study done, and I suggest we maybe do that with water and everything else too, but so you can just stay on top of it. Because the way the economy is going, we don't want to make sure that we're pulling out of our reserves and everything else when we don't need to. So we're going to start working on that. Along with the Carbon Free Power Project, just to update on you guys on that, we did go knock it down from a 12 module. The module to a 6, and so instead of the 700 megawatts, it's 462. The price target, we went from $55 per megawatt hour. This is today's price. Remember, this project's not coming on till 2030, so we bumped it up to 58, which is real good. Because you think of our wind, horsepeak wind, we're around 70. Dollars per megawatt hour on that one. So 58 is actually, you know, that's competitive to natural gas and everything. So So we got 27 individuals, 114 megawatts signed up in UAMPS. We got two Washington utilities for 227 megawatts. We got one Arizona utility. Remember this, Washington, Arizona, and these six other utilities, they're still kind of kicking it around trying to get in on the project. So that, which the other six other utilities, 160 megawatts. So that comes up to be 526 megawatts. And we only did a six module 462. So I think we're going to get this project full. I don't think we'll have a problem with that because you really think there's a place for renewables, wind, there's a place for solar, but you look at what's replacing these coal power plants when they go. You got to have something that's going to be that base load that can haul that, those renewables. And so I don't think we'll have any issues filling that. But we're working with it. They started doing drill samples up there, everything. And so the project's moving along. I just wish we can move it till earlier, till 2030, but that's the way these projects just take time. We currently have 14 temporaries out. We did 57 service orders last month. As you know, we implemented the impact fees, and I apologize to the young lady back there. Instead of $8,000 for 200 amp, it's only $4,000. I was talking to an individual about 400 amp service today, so I apologize for that. I talked to Skyline about the impact fees. They weren't too happy about it, but I think they understood that, you know, where we're sitting and the growth we're seeing, we have to do something. You know, that cost of the all these new individuals coming in should have fallen on to our existing customers. It needs to be covered by the new customers that are coming in, impacting the system. We're working on the cell one transformer down here, right next to Fizz, trying to get that new sub all connected up. We're just waiting for a few parts on that. Like I said, we're looking into a rate study. We're going to be implementing a new collector for our metering out to the Contoy. We finally got all of our fiber tied in. A total separate network because you want your billing and software and all that totally separate from the operations network because of cybersecurity purposes. And so we have that, so it's not tied in. The only thing that's going to be tied into the internet is our collector out to the substation, and everything else is going to be isolated. So no, there's no way of getting into our operations, into our reclosers, and all that. So, which is going to be help keep us FERC compliant and all that. We're going to wait on hiring Phil in Kate's place. He's leaving up to Idaho Falls. We're going to wait until spring to actually hire another guy. And so we're going to try to get some stuff put together and see what we can figure out there on trying to see what we can implement and keep guys here. And we're putting that hydro line from Unit 2, where the power plant parked, all the way up to the other power plant, which is, what, like 2 miles? That's all going underground. We got all the wire in, everything, and so we want to get that done before the snow starts flying, because every year we have issues on that line. And so we're trying to get that pushed in so we can keep those hydros going year round and not have the interruptions on those customers out there like we've been having. So I've got a lot going on, so it's been busy.
And all that stuff's been bought and paid for.
Yes. Yeah.
We approved that.
Yep.
A while ago.
Yeah, that was actually on last year's budget.
Right.
And so we was able to get Paul dug it all in, you know, set all the boxes and everything. And I have to give it to Paul. He's been saving the city a lot of money by using it. We just have him do it, dig a 600 foot line extension up for Skyline out there, and so that. He's been doing a good job for us. You guys have any questions for us, or?
How long are you waiting on those parts, do you think, for the substation?
The last switch is supposed to be showing up, I think 2 weeks from today. And so once we get that switch, I think we can get that all tied in and actually switch the inner loop, which is like Wasatch, the swimming pool and all that, over onto the new sub, along with the north loop, which includes all Skyline and everything on the north end of town here, clear up to the power plant. And so that'd be nice to get that switch, then we can work on that other bay and do some updating on it, so.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, but we had to order some other switches for that other bay that's running, because we had some porcelain glass when we was up there doing our inspection, and it's starting to crack, and so we're starting to see some tracking going back to the steel structure, which isn't good. And so I'm worried we got to have that done by time the real snow starts flying, it starts freezing. Because water's going to get down there and crack it more, and then we will have issues, because that power that's feeding into the sub, that's 46,000 volts. And then that transformer steps it down to 12,000 volts. And so on the 46 side, that's the switch that's broke. And so we've been keeping a pretty good eye on that. And as soon as we can switch that over, we will, and get that fixed. So we're going to be putting in polymer, plus polymer insulators, instead of kind of going away from the porcelain ones, because the polymer is more durable. So, but yeah, that's kind of where we're sitting. Hopefully we can have, with the collector out to the Contoy sub, we're going to split the city in half, and then half of the metering on that substation, and then half of the metering on this substation, which is going to give us pretty good room to grow. I mean, eventually we still have to do a substation out there for out to on gravel pit road somewhere to feed Skyline, but that's why we implemented those impact fees and all that, to kind of cover that cost. And we'll be sharing that transmission line with Fairview. They'll be on one side, we'll be on the other side, and so they'll be able to help us pay for that also. So yeah,
it'll be good.
So it'll be good. Okay, thanks you guys.
Thanks Shane.
Justin has to sign off early. He said he'll do his report next week in the next meeting when he's here in person.
Okay, I was just going to call on him, so. Okay, Kevin.
I don't believe I have anything to new reports.
Okay. Russ?
We went over everything with the swimming pool, and I haven't seen Steph. The last report I got from her, I just run into her. She said everything was going good with the rec department, so. That's about all I got with that.
Rondi?
Well, I got to be the bad news man. And our road project we had planned, and we voted on August 10th. It looks like we're not going to be able to do it until spring. The contractor we was looking at using that did our roads last year is, they're under a notice non-disclosure agreement with the company we get the composite from, so they can't even talk to me. They won't return calls, emails, text messaging, because they're under this non-disclosure agreement. And it's unfortunate, because on August 10th it looked like they would be in town mid-September to do these roads, and there's a period of time where I couldn't communicate with them. And then I found out why, because there's litigation between them and Lithtech, and they're not allowed to talk to me. So the good news is we still have the money in our road budget. We're probably going to have to push that project ahead until as soon as we can get to it next spring. It's unfortunate, because they led us to believe that there was no issues and that we'd be getting some new roads in the middle of September, and that just wasn't the case.
I'm not sure if we's getting the whole story. You know, they didn't want to lose the job, so they was leading us on, believed that they was going to do it. And they said the cat and the mayor might know more about something I may have missed there. But
basically, that's what I got the information from Bruce, is that they had a lawsuit with each other and non-disclosure.
So you can't talk to either party.
We can talk to LifTech, but Bedrock can't sell us anything because LifTech won't sell them anything. So we got to basically find another supplier if we want to keep using that same thing. We'll go directly to LifTech and see if we can buy it from LifTech. And then we'd have to line up all the contractors ourselves anyway.
And I did contact LifTech, and they're excited to work with us. It's just simply too late in the season to try to get on their schedule.
So we really probably got to do something with Aspen's Roads prior to winter.
Right. So,
yeah, what can we do, though? Any suggestions? I don't even think we can get chips now.
No, I don't want chips. I don't know if any saddled or anything I've gone through there.
It's pretty rough.
At the very least, I think we need to blade it and fill some of them holes. Gravel and
road base, temporary, it's cheapest, and it's not going to stay, but
we can't just leave them hanging through the winter. We'll have to go in there and clean them up the best we can, and then as early as we can next spring, get in there.
It'd almost be more worth taking and flipping the rest of them and blading them out, put some new road base on, and pack it down if you have time. And then all you have to
do, I don't think we've got time to do it, though. We'd have to get.
That would eliminate all your headaches and your potholes and all that as far as most of it, but I mean, you still got it. It'd just be easier to blade back out as far as once it freezes solid, it won't be a big an issue, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about the bad news on the road project. It's frustrating because they led us to believe that there's no issues and then it just all fell apart. Because of legal battles that are out of our control, so I'm just grateful we haven't given them any money. So we still have the money in our budget, and we'll have more money next year, and we can maybe look at some bigger projects. I think we just ran out of time with it being October around the corner.
Would you suggest that we get maybe look at it and maybe get some estimates from contractors if they've got time to move in there, and you're suggesting tearing out what's there and smoothing it out?
It can be easier.
Worst thing is bringing the zipper in is that stupid transportation or setup fee. That's the worst thing of that.
We got a zipper.
Let's do it with the little one.
What about roller milling it?
That's
what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We have on the fit on the loader, so it wouldn't really take that long to do it.
Hope's not gone anyway.
Yeah, it would be better to do that and blade. You know, I don't worry that we're, you know, have to donate some time or whatever to go blade it out and roll it.
Not chips to it, just have that compactor roll base for there.
Just we roll it, roll the wheel.
Then we'll have that subgrade to build on in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it'll be, once it freezes over, it'll stay pretty solid.
The spring hits again.
Well, fifth rest, it was good for them because it packed it down.
So, I mean, I think that's a better option than trying to patch it.
I don't think we could patch it.
It would be such a mess to patch it up.
I know the trailer's still not totally gone either, that we're trying to get gone for that drainage basin.
That's probably our best bet, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm all in favor of doing that.
We might have to use some of the road funds, but it'd be better than letting it go.
That's fine, because that's the top priority, I believe.
Not to leave that as such a mess over the winter would be.
Yeah, some of that holes are for granted.
I don't mind letting it out or not.
Just first point.
So,
no, I'm talking about Aspen Village.
Oh, Aspen Village.
We tore all that up, put it in the water system, and
but I think he's got all the meters in there. Yeah,
Mariel, you can go through that. You go through and look at it.
See what we can do.
Day and time or something like that. Zip it out, blade it out.
I'd be grateful if we could do that for the winter, yes.
Would it be all right for you to contact a couple of local contractors and see if they can give you some ideas?
I certainly can, yeah.
I think we ought to start working with LiveTech if we're gonna keep with that product.
Yeah, and the main thing.
And I think we ought to start right now so that we're ready to go come spring.
Yeah, as soon as I get it. And then I'll contact some real contractors and see what they do for us up in Aspen Village. Sooner the better.
The only thing that'd be hard would be where the drainage is at, but really, it's gonna be a mess anyway.
Yeah.
Look, I think that'd be a lot better option. If you could haul just a few hit spots of road base here and there if you need it.
At least get it through the winter.
Mm-hmm. Get it frozen and then it'll stay pretty hard, so.
Yeah, we get in there and get it compacted, it would help.
All right.
Anything else, Rodney?
That's all I have. We'll move forward with that.
Sam?
Cert class is done. Did their final on Saturday. Everything went pretty well. They're working on staying cooperative with Spring City. And they want to maybe meet monthly to try and keep everybody active. And they want to know if it was okay to still use the building here, maybe just as a meeting place. I didn't think that'd be an issue, as far as you know. Just that same Monday night. It's like one Monday a month. So.
The biggest thing would be just scheduling it on Jeannie's calendar so that if we don't.
And I don't know. I think they were still talking at like, I think they were starting at 6:30. Just 6:30 maybe meeting for like an hour or something, though they were talking. It wouldn't be the full 3 hours.
Every Monday or just one?
Just one Monday a month.
If you want to just have, message me or something.
Okay, because they were just talking about maybe the first Monday of the month.
Okay, I don't think that'll be a problem, but.
That would be our biggest issue.
So if they can keep them interested and keep them.
It would be good to have the group keep going, because we've got a good group that's done it.
Sure.
Yes.
Other than that, that's all I got.
Okay. Probably gotta have anything we haven't talked about.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
Okay.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
What did you go to meeting tonight?
And, you got any?
The damn trees were.